because it's right along the Zambia Copper Belt, which is where we are exploring. So we are seeing definitely a lot of tension in the area. Our project is really exciting because it is so far finding all the same traits as Barrick's Lumwana mine. So it has very similar grades, has very similar widths and length so far that we've drilled off to date. So it's really exciting.
Derek Iwanaka, B Metals, how are you, my friend?
Very well, thanks. How about yourself, Andy?
I'm doing fantastic. Just to all of our audience, I was busting Derek up a little. He looks like in his background, he's in Hawaii, but he's actually in Vancouver and it's 0 degrees out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's 70 degrees here in Atlanta.
Can you see the fireplace? There you go.
Right? Keep yourself
the fireplace is going and that is helping to keep me warm here.
So, yeah, so let's get right into it. I want to go a 30,000 foot view and then we're going to go a little bit lower, but I'd like to just give a preview to this. So you're in Zambia, which is interesting to me because most of our, as a jurisdiction that I know about, but I'm not familiar with. So I want to talk about that, but also this is a copper play and I see this as a copper play. Most of the companies we have are in precious metals, but you're industrial metals. And just for my audience sake and my own bias, I am hyper bullish on the long-term prospects of copper. But let's talk first about Zambia. You're there. Tell us about the project you have, then I want to talk about the jurisdiction.
Sure. The project is a really large-scale type of deposits, or there's large-scale deposits in the area, and we are surrounded basically by giants. So the likes of Barrick are producing with their Lumwana copper mine, which is about 300 kilometers to the east of us. And then you have First Quantum has two mines, actually, the Kansanshi mine and also the Sentinel mine, which are also producing to the east of us. And so, you know, there's a lot of larger exploration companies around. There are also what has really become interesting lately, and this is kind of debatable as to whether it's good or not, but there is an AI backed exploration company in the area. It is backed by Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates. It's called Cobalt Metals. That has been getting a lot of attention for Zambia in particular, but also very particular to us because it's right along the Zambia Copper Belt, which is where we are exploring. So we are seeing definitely a lot of attention in the area. Our project is really exciting because it is so far finding all the same traits as Barrick's Lumwana mine. So it has very similar grades, has very similar widths and length so far that we've drilled off to date. So it's really exciting. It's what you could say so far anyways is a look-alike Lumwana mine. And if that's the case, then it could potentially be worth billions of dollars, which is what Barrick actually purchased it for back in, this was around 2007 or six.
Okay. Excellent. And then tell me a little bit about the, where are you at in this process here as far as exploration and on the road to production and permitting and all of that stuff. And we'll talk about the jurisdiction.
It's relatively early, I guess, in stage, but we have been drilling here for the past 5 years. Originally, it was actually being drilled by a company called Antofagasta, which is a large Chilean copper producer. After that, we took over, we started to drill on the project. They've been relatively small programs, but we have been able to bring in a larger partner. So if you're familiar with JOGMEC, which is the Japanese state agency, they have come in and they're funding approximately 30% of the exploration costs there. So that's helping take the sting out of the exploration costs. But we have been able to do almost every year, I think, except for COVID, the first year. We've been able to do either a core drilling program or air core, and very likely have done both air core and core drilling. So we've done a number of programs of phases. We've had some really good results, especially last year. We saw probably the best results to date, where we're hitting 17 meters of about 0.7% copper. So that is higher grade than what the Lumwana or Sentinel or Kansanshi mines are producing at today. Not the whole program was hitting 0.7%, but at least some of the better ones were hitting 0.7%. So we're definitely getting the grades, we're getting the widths. The permitting process is pretty straightforward in Zambia. But we're not quite there yet. We'd have to get through this exploration phase and then get to hopefully either a resource estimate and then some sort of economic study. And most likely there'll be a preliminary economic study, but we could move it to either pre-feasibility or feasibility study stage if everything continues to look good.
Yeah. Do you have an ETA on that, or can you comment about that?
Well, ideally, if we can get to a resource stage by the end of this year, that would be the objective. And then from there, probably give us another year to do a preliminary economic study. So by next year, we could be at that stage. But that's, of course, if exploration continues to yield good results.
Got it. Okay. So then I'm curious, what does the permitting look like in Zambia? Is that because some places in the world, it's 1 year, some places in the world, it's 10 years. So
yeah, that I guess kind of ranges as to which project that is and how developed it is.
Sure.
In the case of say Cobalt Metals, I've been hearing that they think this could be done in a few years. I don't know if that's the case, but it is a really large deposit that those guys are working on. It is obviously backed by a lot of heavy hitters with a lot of money. So I suspect that that could also accelerate things. But the process it is very straightforward, and there's plenty of examples around us that have reached production. In fact, if you looked along the Zambia Copper Belt, it's basically just littered with mines across basically from us. We're on the west side going towards the east. Usually as you get towards the east, you're getting more to the later stage projects that have been producing for decades.
Tell me a little bit about infrastructure. Are you next to roads? Are you, do you have to build roads, power, water, all of that?
Roads are there. Power is not going to the property. So we would probably have to have some sort of either a spur that comes off the main grid, or we potentially would have to build some sort of power station for ourselves, whether that be by diesel generation or something like that. Energy has been a little bit of a sore spot in Zambia in general. They are very reliant on hydroelectric power, and the last couple of years at least has seen some droughts, and so it's been a little bit difficult to come by power as of the last couple of years. But typically you do see a lot of rainfall, especially in the rainy season, which kind of runs from what we would call fall and winter. So roughly from about October to March is the rainy season, and you typically see a lot of rain during that period. And that helps refill the reservoirs and helps the power the country. But just the last couple of years, it's been a bit of an issue. Infrastructure wise, actually, there's a new or actually, sorry, upgraded railway that is actually called the Lobito Corridor, which is partially being funded by the United States and the European Union. And that's running from the Angolan coast all the way up to the Zambian Copper Belt. And for example, some of the mining companies that are using it would be Ivanhoe, which is actually in the DRC. So that's just above us, above Zambia. But they are using that, and I understand it only took them about 10 days to ship their ore from the project to the coast. And that wouldn't be too far from us.
Got it. Okay. Steve, did you have any questions here?
Yeah, there. Could you talk about how much money you have and what's your plan to move the company forward for the next quarter, next 6 months?
The last reported quarter, so the end of September, we had $4.5 million Canadian. As of today, I think we're closer to about $3 million in cash. That gives us enough to do the next phase of drilling in Zambia. After that point, which would probably take us into about June of this year, June or July, and then we'd probably have to look at doing a fundraising.
Gotcha. Can you talk about your share structure or share ownership? What percentage do insiders and institutions own? And if you can tell us about your connection to B2 Gold.
Sure. So B2 Gold, I'm glad you brought that up, because B2 Gold is our largest shareholder. So it's a senior gold producer. Their market cap, I think, is around $5 billion. Currently, they own just under 25% of our shares. And then insiders, including some of the top people in B2Gold, own about 17%. And then we have institutions that currently hold about 11%, including Fidelity Investments, which is a very large investment firm. Recently, we've seen a couple other funds come into the stock. Sun Valley Gold is in as well. And so we are seeing some institutions. It's still relatively early days for us in terms of bringing in more institutions. But hopefully, if we can turn the Pengeti project into a large-scale deposit, you're going to see a lot more interest coming in.
Excellent.
Anything else you want to tell investors or potential investors and any news that you can comment on that you might have that investors should be aware of over the next quarter to 6 months?
Sure. Drilling should commence next month, and then we should start to see results about 2 or 3 months after that. So that's going to be kind of the probably the most interesting period that would take us to about May. So if we start drilling by early March, you'd probably see results coming back by about May or June, which is pretty much coinciding with the time that we're going to be getting low on funds and we'd have to look at refinancing. Obviously, the goal would be to get some really great results. So that is what we were hoping for and partially expecting based on the drilling that we've done already. B2Gold, as I said, is a large shareholder. They've been backing us for the last couple of years, especially, and has really helped us. And I think that is a pretty good indication that, you know, we have an endorsement of a large gold company that is supporting us in this endeavor, and they see the value in what we're doing. And obviously they see the potential of where this project can go.
Got it.
So Derek, where can people find you? Can you give your web address as well as your Tucker stock symbols on the exchanges that you're traded on?
Sure. You can find us at bmetalscorp.com. Don't forget the corp. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me anytime. I can give you my phone number, 604-928-2797. I'm happy to speak to anybody. But if you want to do it the other way, you can also just reach us by email, which would be info@bmetalscorp.com. Those are the easiest ways to get a hold of us. We're also on social media, so you can reach us that way. But you know, email and phone calls work the best, and I'm pretty old-fashioned that way.
Yeah, got it. Are you traded on the over-the-counter or just on the TSX?
Sorry, yes. Stock symbols BMET is our main one. That's on the TSX Venture Exchange. And then BMTLF is on the OTCQB. We also trade in Frankfurt. That's 10I.F on the Frankfurt Exchange, but you don't see a lot of trading there. I'd say most of it is definitely on the TSX Venture for us.
Excellent. I will put all of this in the show notes in both the YouTube video as well as the Apple Podcasts and Spotify podcast. Derek, I want to thank you so much for your time, and we'd love to have you on again as the news comes out.
Terrific. Thank you, Andy and Steve, for having me on.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Cheers. You too.